for us to make a decision on whether we're going to let that happen or not.
All right.
And you guys always do have the ability to table.
Ability to walk out here.
Right now, you're
welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. You entered 7715. This meeting ID does not exist. Please re-enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Doing
anything? No. No.
They even have been
abandoned.
They're just
enter your participant ID followed.
Right.
Please enter the meeting password followed by pound. You entered 415760. This meeting password is invalid. Please re-enter the meeting password followed by pound. You are in the meeting now. There are two participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded. You have been added to the waiting room. You cannot talk or...
We can walk headfirst into a lawsuit like that.
And that's why we need to phrase it in such a way that it doesn't specifically...
Have to say it for...
And if a bigger issue arises...
But then we set precedent. We allow them.
It has been by allowing them to be here. For
Richard, can you hear us?
I mean, granted, yes, we are talking.
Yes, again.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. All right. We are recording. The meeting is back in session. Sharon, you may start.
Yes, the meeting is back in session for the Port of Brooklyn Harbor Special Commissioners Meeting Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. And do we need to do... roll calls or anything again?
No,
okay,
just
we
go right in here.
To action items. Permission to display vital plates, education cards. Travis.
Okay, so we have had kind of an outstanding ask for there to be a Bible education card set up. Out here, typically, is where historically it's been put is between Whale Tail and the Boardwalk Mail. We have had a chance to speak with legal counsel about our processes and what we need to be aware of. So this is kind of your guys' opportunity. I didn't put a recommended motion, but if we would like to make a decision, we can ask any more questions, or we can always table this, you know, and wait till later, but this decision is up to you guys.
Richard, do you have any comment on where we should either proceed or table this item?
Well, one thing that occurred to me is with respect to this particular application, we could probably go ahead and approve it provisionally with the understanding that the court is further going to develop an ordinance dealing with public space on the on court property. So I guess what I'm saying is, and I'll defer to James on this. I don't want to, you know, walk out on the plank very far and get caught. But I would think we could provisionally approve this, and then go from there to develop an ordinance and do other things.
Okay.
Yes. The board president, he does have authority to do that. Should it choose to do so.
Any more comments?
To make a motion, whatever. I have no comments.
Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
Would you like me to... Okay, go ahead.
Richard, did you want to make the motion, or shall I make a motion?
Well, I can try and make a motion and see if it captures what we talked about here. So I move that the Port Commission conditionally approve the request to display the Bible card, I additionally moved that Bible card location be moved onto the boardwalk and away from that narrow pinch point there on the sidewalk. And further, that the Port Commission begin developing a draft ordinance to deal with public solicitation and public forum use of port property.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second by Ken. Danielle?
Larry?
Is there going to be more discussion?
Larry.
Oh,
is there any more discussion?
Any more discussion?
I'm wondering if we want to limit.
Oh,
go ahead, Rich.
I might ask James if he wants to weigh in before we take action on this. If that creates kind of what we're talking about, or if we're building a sand trap.
No, I think that direction in providing the boardwalk space on this the application that's in front of the board is a good solution, and I think that the decision, should the board approve it, to look to prepare an ordinance that would address kind of the use of port property, particularly in the context of public forums, is a good move as well, and we'd look to do that in fairly short order. So I think that puts the port in a very strong position.
So I would like to just verify why I seconded it. One is, I don't think these people have ever been controversial in their dealing with the public out here in any way, shape, or form. They've also never created any problems for the port. Also, when you consider the volume of traffic, foot traffic we have on the Pirates Festival and other events out here, I don't think, Larry, that the sidewalk is an issue. Where they want to set up is a very, very large area, and I've never seen more than maybe four people at their stand. If it did become a problem, then we have the ability to rescind it. We are going to take a look at some other options as to what we want to do down the road. So that's why I seconded it.
Will we limit the amount of time they're out there, or days they're out there?
They have, in their application, they limited it.
Okay.
That's all.
So if you put them out on the boardwalk, we have to make sure they don't interfere with different activities that are going on there.
Yes. And just to be clear, Richard, your motion included the location for them to use being the boardwalk area, correct?
Yes, and I'd like to, with the permission of the seconder, I'd like to make an amendment to my motion.
Ken, can he make an amendment to his motion?
No. I don't think it's necessary.
Well, Richard's asking. Richard, what are you thinking?
So my amendment would be that they would be able to use the boardwalk at times when it's not being used for other purposes. In other words, there's no events out there. In the event of any events, that's a double. If there are other events, then they would not be allowed to use the boardwalk as part of this authorization.
I agree with that.
So you will use second that motion.
So I second the amendment to the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay, Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Okay, we will now move to information items.
Yes.
Well, we have, I guess A, B, and C. B and C was moved down, so A, forming a committee.
James, I put forming a committee. I kind of briefly talked to you about this. I wanted to give you a chance to let the board know the process of forming a committee, and depending on the approvals that that committee or the power that that committee has to make decisions, what we need to be aware of and how that needs to go.
Sure. So thanks, Travis. I appreciate that. I think that what I'd like to do is kind of cover a little bit of territory that I suspect the board is already familiar with, but then also given some case law and over the last, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years, just share a couple pieces of information that may not be as well known. So the short answer is that the board can, of course, form committees. I think that the item or comment of caution is that certain committees can be labeled as, you know, what we call governing bodies of a public body, and could trigger Oregon's public meetings law. Determining which committees kind of are subject to Oregon's public meetings law is really evaluated on a case-by-case basis. But the determining factor is whether the determining factor is ultimately the scope of the committee's authority. And so committees that have the authority to make decisions for or recommendations to the board, or any public body for that matter, but here the board, would fall under the requirements of the public meetings law. You know, of course, we've kind of drawn a distinction between those committees that have the authority to make decisions for recommendations to a public body versus committees that are just kind of fact-gathering committees. A committee that's tasked, you know, solely with kind of gathering facts or information and then taking that back to the board wouldn't be subject to the public meetings law based on the guidance we've seen. So I think that in determining whether to form a committee or not, the board should keep in mind or consider the scope of that committee's authority and then also the composition of that committee, who's on it, right? So, of course, there has to be an increased level of caution when any committee consists of a quorum of another governing body. So if there were, you know, three members of this board that were on a committee, that committee would essentially automatically be subject to the public meetings law because that quorum exists. I think the other kind of piece to keep in mind when considering the composition of a committee is that, you know, there is a developing body of case law regarding serial meetings and how those can trigger the public meetings law. So there is the possibility of, you know, a series of private communications without a quorum still being viewed kind of collectively or together to trigger meetings law requirements. So, for example, you know, a committee that had only has two board members, if one of those two board members were to take a particular issue and then deliberate with a third board member who's not on the committee, the deliberations between those two committee members and the one committee member and non-committee member could be viewed together to be a serial communication and then trigger the public meetings law. So in kind of forming a committee, which the board certainly can do, and that's something that could be done, you know, even by resolution, I would encourage that we take a look at, you know, the makeup of the committee and then also their scope of authority.
May I ask, why are we covering this? I mean, are we getting ready to form a committee or something?
It was some questions that were asked to me about wastewater treatment plant and, you know, some of our other projects going forward about being able to collect more information, you know, from another source, you know, other than your manager, especially given the situation that we're in, that if we needed more clarification or if we or the board thought that we needed more interaction from the public or the board to be more involved in the process of how this was going, that would be relative to at least discuss the guidelines and things to consider if we were to ever form a committee.
Thank you, Trevor. Any further discussion?
I have a question for James.
Okay.
James, do you have our bylaws in front of you?
You know, I don't have them in front of me, but I can pull them up.
Now, it's not necessary, but our bylaws are pretty clear unless they need to be amended. But other than required by state law, committees will be formed by resolution. So can you define what the resolution requirements are at this point in time?
Sure, yeah. So the board certainly can form a committee by resolution. You know, and that resolution can be brought before the board and approved, you know, by a majority to set up the committee. The resolution itself, just my recommendation would be that it specify, obviously, the name of the committee, but it also detail kind of the scope of the committee's task and objective and the scope of their that committee's authority, and then also, you know, kind of identify or appoint some initial members of that committee and kind of the duration of those individual participants, the duration of their participation on the committee.
Anything further, Ken?
It's all the same as what's in our bylaws.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
Richard, any questions? If you have any.
No, I don't have any.
Okay.
So we'll move forward to the boatyard clamshell dredging.
Okay, so I've continued having this on here. I continuously think I'm going to have quotes to present to you guys. The contractors that have the ability to do this work haven't been very prompt getting us quotes back. We have had two companies, Legacy and Billiter, have both been out on site to look at what we have, try and strategize the plan at what each company thinks they could do to achieve the clamshelling that we need. I do think we'll have at least three quotes to look at. But until I get those, I won't know. I will probably be closing this and have something though for you guys at our public meeting. I kind of want to get this ball rolling. The other information I have about this that is probably Jack has been working on our JPA application for that. We started working on that. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and Department of State Lands both have now have the ability for us to fill out a 5-year permit application. Which we can include all the information from our FEMA dredging to our piling to this clamshelling and the need for future clamshelling. So we plugged in 120,000 cubic yards for a 5-year plan that
that it's a little, it was a little more work up front, but it's going to allow that we don't have to do a joint permit application every time, every in-water work season to keep it going. So this will get us over a five-year plan, which will make our future permitting a little bit easier. The other part, we did haul off the sediment pile that was there to make room for this. Tidewater did that. That was just under 500 cubic yards. One of the things that I'm just kind of going over, this is a much more broader topic. The permit that we fill out with this application, we're asking to remove 3,000 to 5,000 cubic yards from that area inside the travel ramp in front of the culvert, and kind of in and around the docks as much as we can reach out and grab with what we have. As you guys know, the sea dock is closed down, so the more material we can get out and try and get that dock in operation, the better it is for the port. I have talked to James briefly about our board-to-board meeting we had with the county about this pile, and asking him to look into what was presented to us as Oregon drainage law and what the actual legalities of this material traveling through our port, ending up in our basin, being, at the end of the day, our responsibility to move. The quotes that I have seen on this and have kind of heard, it's going to be an expensive project. If I had to estimate, we're probably looking at about a $100,000 bill for that. So I think it could be a little bit cheaper, it could be more. I've seen two quotes that vary each side of $100,000, but I think it's going to be very a good idea for the port just to make sure we check into the legality and spend a little time with the attorneys to make sure we're, at the end of the day, the proper people are paying for this removal. Is there any questions with Clamp Shelling?
I have one. So the dredge pile that we're going to end up with, is that figure gone? Or is it
I'll have to look and see. Jack's been helping me with that. Some of them might include it. Some of them might not include it.
Okay.
You know, the farther away the company, you know, Legacy comes out from Salem, I really don't want them staying here much longer than they have to remove material. I think if we can hire just one person to get it out, I think with our local contractors that we have here with their disposal methods, it will be much cheaper, much more affordable for us to get rid of it if we take it kind of as two separate projects.
Okay, thank you, Travis.
So I have a question. On our list of things to be done on the FEMA projects, which is 17, 18, and 19, Basin 2 slopes repairs, or both of those slope repairs, and then the clam bucket dredging. So the bids you're getting, are they for all three of those?
The bids we're getting will be just for in front of the culvert pipe and in the travel lift area.
Okay, all of these have the same start date. So we're now changing, that's all subject to change, and they'll come in at different times?
For them to remove that pile, is that, I'm sorry, I'm just kidding.
FEMA.
FEMA will encompass the west side of Basin 2 from about the Coast Guard down, it's what has been put as 1,000 feet. So that 1,000 feet takes us right about to that corner where the cat house we're at with the in that basin. It's gonna die out. Granted, we have some spots fixed that they won't have to go over. So if we stick to 1,000 feet, we might be able to turn that corner just a little bit, but our FEMA project won't be enough to deal with the clam shelling that went out of the county culvert.
So we're not looking at the bids for those two items yet?
No.
Okay.
No, this will be a completely separate project.
That's still covered under the FEMA.
It will not be covered under FEMA. The only thing that I'm thinking will be paid from FEMA right now is the joint permit application that we switched to 5 years.
So what's the difference between what we have and this project, clam bucket dredging under FEMA, and what you're proposing now? This is travel lift ramp and culvert area.
When that schedule was made, that was under the assumption that maybe we would be able to get more, but that the emergency and the need for us to remove this material is constituting basically another project. I don't think our FEMA project will make it that far and do everything that we needed to do to solve our current problems right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Travis. Any further questions? Richard, do you have any questions?
No, I do not.
Thank you, Richard. All right, so we will move to see action, not action, information for court manager update.
Okay, so in our last meeting we discussed, we extended the recruitment process for 4 weeks.
Okay.
I asked SDAO to go ahead and provide me with an update this morning. Their email says they have four completed applicant packets. One person they're reaching out to hopefully get their packet by the end of the day. If that happens, that'll be five completed packets of individuals for us to look at. And then she put in that she has four other individuals that have sent the resumes but have not completed the packets. So potentially, if those other four get what they need in, we'll be looking at nine different candidates that have applied for the position.
Wow.
So overall, in the court recruitment of managers, I think we are doing very good with at least having the ability to look over potential candidates. On the recruitment timeline, just doing a little fine-tuning, our next regular board meeting will be on October 19th.
Mm-hmm.
I will set that board meeting up. We will have another executive session, and I'll talk with SDAO to have them here so you guys can review the applicants that we do have and try and select 3 to 5 semifinalists, whatever we decide we want to continue looking at. And then yes, and then so after we do the that executive session, that following day after our public meeting, after we select them, I will call and notify the semifinalist candidates that we have selected. And then it had it set out for October 31st for the board to set out for a special meeting to start doing possible interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We will stay in contact with each other. I think if we wanted to, we could start it the last week of October and get the ball rolling faster, but I think we'll nail that down more in our public meeting on the 19th.
So will we have any material to review before that? Or
you won't have it probably before before your executive session. It'll be
okay.
One of the things that SDAO will send over.
We'll
what we have.
Cover it then.
We will all sit down. That board meeting, that October board meeting, will take some time for us to get through, so please allow for a
yes.
few hours
yes.
for that meeting.
Thank you.
That's what I have right now as far as an update where we are with the manager search.
Perfect. Sounds great.
There'll be a packet for that meeting, and that packet cannot include?
I don't think so, because it will be all information that will be an executive session. You guys might be able to. I just need to talk it over with James and SDAO just to make sure we're distributing that information correctly.
Because it would be nice.
Plus people's private information.
There is a lot of private information on there, and that's what a lot of it triggers the executive session. And for you guys to deliberate, you know, amongst yourselves. But I will check into that, and if at all possible or I can, I will get those packets out to you guys as soon as possible.
Richard has something?
I just wanted to say that when we were talking to FDAO, they stressed repeatedly that we need to maintain strict confidentiality about these candidates.
Yeah.
And that's very important is why they're handling them. So when we go to executive session, that's probably going to be the first time we get to look at this.
That's understandable, Richard. I agree. Okay. Do we have any further questions? No? Commissioner comments? No comment? I think we've commented. All right. Regular meeting date, Wednesday, October 19, 2022 at 2 p.m. Call this meeting adjourned.
Goodbye.